Welcome to another episode of the Access Baseball Podcast, covering all the bases of high school and college baseball. And now here's your host, Vinny Massana.
Hello and welcome to the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Vinny Massana. Once again, we're filming live tonight from Pro Game Athletics, Bayshore, New York. And tonight we have a special guest. We have John Downing. He is a junior at Chaminade High School. Chaminade, technically the reigning champ, since there was no championship in 2020. But John had an outstanding summer this year, playing for Titans Porcelano. 13 starts, 1.3 ERA, 75 strikeouts over that duration of time. Obviously an outstanding year. So let's start there, John. I mean, you really put it all together this year. I mean, evaluating your performance, how do you feel like you threw the ball?
Yeah, I mean, it felt good all year. Coming into like the season with this pandemic, I didn't really know, you know, how what was going to go on. But during quarantine, I just stayed ready the entire time, and that ended up putting together like a really good year. So I felt good the whole time.
Do you feel like there was, do you feel like it was a little bit more favorable to the pitchers coming back after that long break? From my estimation, it seemed like there was, you know, defensive struggles a little bit. The hitters were a little bit off on their timing, but the pitchers definitely were sharper in my estimation.
Yeah, I mean, I was facing the Diamondbacks, I think, in a scrimmage, and like they were taking a lot more pitches than usual, and I was throwing it by guys a lot more, which felt really good. And then my off speed, they made it look like a lot better too, which felt good.
Mm-hmm. And now that video that we posted from, I believe it was in September, perfect game, Staten Island, 14 strikeouts, two hitter. I mean, when you're in the in the zone like that, I mean, what would you describe that as? It seemed almost like you could do no wrong,
yeah,
right?
I mean, I was throwing it by, I feel like anyone. I could throw it by anyone that game. I was like spotting up my curveball anywhere I wanted to, any count, 3-0, 2-1, I was throwing it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got a lot of strikeouts that game. It felt good.
Were you calling the pitches?
Well, me and my catcher, Matt Sandoval, we were like connected the whole game. He knew what like the pitch to put down every time, so it just felt good.
Yeah, last week with our guests, we were talking about with Phil DeGuano the importance of having chemistry with your catcher. So you noted that Chaminade has a couple catchers on their team that could start any game, three catchers actually. So do you feel like that is accurate, that you have a chemistry with one catcher maybe over another?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Sandoval, I've been playing with himself since like 12 years old, I think. So he knows every pitch I throw, how it like moves and stuff, and it just feels good to have that guy just throw to every time.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, shifting gears, talking about Chaminade High School, like I mentioned, 2019, the championship went through them, and they're loaded pretty well, I think, for the 2021 season. Obviously, you're in the rotation. You got guys like Joe Arriola, J.J. Gaddy, Jimmy Whedon. I mean, in the offense, I think they're in pretty good shape as well with Nick Ungania and Nolan Nowrocki as well. So can you give our audience a little taste of what to expect in the 2021 season?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much loaded. We have guys all over the field that can just hit, field, run. Nick Ungania, probably, I think, the best outfielder on Long Island right now. He can field, hit, everything. Nolan Nowrocki, Brady Steiner, Ryan Johnson, our infielders, they're really good. Mm-hmm. And then J.J. Gaddy, he just knows how to pitch. He's a stud. And then Ariel, lefty throwing 90, doesn't get much better than that. So
yeah, I want to talk about a couple of those kids in particular. Nolan Nowrocki, had him on Instagram Live earlier this year, committed to Army. I mean, what is it like having a defensive player like that behind you? I know you probably haven't played too much on the same field because of the pandemic, but when you have a shortstop like that, what does that do for your confidence?
Yeah, my confidence is through the roof, and I have a guy like Nolan Nowrocki, like pretty much make any play that I want. Like, he just makes any play. Mm-hmm. And then Nick Ungania in the outfield is, again, just make any play. So I'm just like confidence.
So it's like having two automatic outs,
yeah, basically,
behind you. Yeah, and then obviously head coach, you know, Piancos. Mike Pianco, 600 career wins, a walking legend. And even though there's such a large age difference between him and the players, it seems like he has the utmost respect of all the players, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be good to get coached by a guy like that who has that much experience. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
And how about pitching coach Jimmy Ballin? I got to mention him. Three no-hitters in 1996. I know he's tied for the record a couple years ago when Eden Crowley threw three as well. We were a little quick to say that Eden set the record, but I don't want to sell Jimmy short on that. But so what is it like having him as a pitching coach?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be lots to learn with him. You know, it's going to just be really good. Yeah, I haven't even met him yet, I think.
Yeah.
But during tryouts, I'll just be talking to him a lot. It's going to be good.
Yeah, you got to pick his brain. He's got a lot of experience. So let's talk about Major League Baseball. Big news today coming out of New York. Robinson Cano has positive for steroids for the second time. 162-game suspension, forfeits his $24 million salary, saves the Mets $20 million. I mean, what is your immediate reaction from that? It's got to be the first time that a positive steroid test actually benefited the Mets, right?
I mean, I'm excited. Steve Cohen, I hope he spends a lot of money. I'm sure he will. He's going to be excited. Maybe grab LeMahieu from the Yankees. That would be nice.
Yeah, Yankee fans do not want to hear that. Obviously, their best player over the last 2 years, you know, he's 360 hitter, major league leader in batting average. Who are some of the players on your wish list for the Mets this year? Do you want Trevor Bauer?
Yeah, obviously Trevor Bauer. Like, I love when he gets a strikeout. He's like yelling, doing the McGregor walk off the field. I love watching that. It's just fun to watch.
How about Springer or Lindor?
Yeah, Springer. I'd like to see trade for Lindor. Trade a couple of outfielders for Lindor and then sign Springer. And Realmuto, I feel like he's getting kind of old. I wouldn't really want to see him get.
I just think when you have a catcher, it's probably not smart to go above 4 or 5 years for that. So we'll see what his annual value comes out to be. But in terms of years, definitely want to avoid that. I'm glad you mentioned Bauer because I think he's a controversial player just because of the amount of energy that he shows on the mound, and old-time baseball players don't like that. Where do you stand in terms of like the amount of emotion that players should exert? Because for a long time, it was one extreme. It was, you don't do that, and now all of a sudden, it seems to be tipping back in the other direction when players like Javier Baez are very charismatic, and really, Bauer's the first pitcher to show any emotion like that.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's not really much emotion shown in the game, but like Bauer said once, I think, he said it's like the game's getting boring, and he's starting to make it like exciting and stuff, so I like watching that.
Yeah, and we need to get back the younger demographic. It seems like they were starting to lose interest, or maybe they did lose interest, but it's going to take guys like that to kind of turn the tides, in my estimation. And going back to the Mets, you know, what are your early memories of the Mets? What was the moment that made you fall in love with baseball?
Well, I had season tickets. My dad would bring me a lot of games, and guys like Carlos Beltran, Carlos Delgado, I really liked watching, and then obviously David Wright, just fun to watch. I like every time he would get up to the plate, I just love watching him.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember going to Shea Stadium or your earliest memory?
Yeah, I remember Shea Stadium. Carlos Delgado was probably my favorite player back then. Shea Stadium, I loved going there.
I love Delgado. And for a long time, the Mets could not find a first baseman to match that production. Looks like they have that now with Pete Alonso. And Pete Alonso's an interesting guy as well because he came to the major leagues with concerns about his defense. Mm-hmm. And then his first year, it seemed like he held his own.
Yeah.
And you combine that with 53 home runs, and then there were no problems. And then last year, he kind of regressed. So, I mean, what are you expecting from him in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he's kind of had a down year last year, but if he has a year even like close to like the rookie year, I'd love to see that. I'd be excited to have that in the lineup.
Yeah, I think he's probably somewhere in between what we expected, maybe 25 home runs and when he showed his rookie year. So, you know, I think most fans will settle for somewhere in between there in the 30-35 range. So, going back to Long Island Titans, Porcelano's team, you know, you guys are outstanding bunch of ball players. And before we started filming, you're telling me about going up and down your roster, guys like Jack Valerio, Alex Solero, Pomeroy Byrne, Dom Persichelli, Matt Hannon. I mean, future college players, it seems like. So let's start with Jack. He's a kid that transferred there from Comac, exceptionally athletic kid. He's in that same category, it seems like, of Nolan, where he can, you know, end balls in any direction. Yeah. He's gonna scoop it up, right?
Yeah, he's got that high IQ that a lot of kids don't have. He's a great fielder, great hitter. He just knows a lot about baseball. It's good to have that at shortstop when he comes there.
Yeah, very important, and you know, being able to contribute on both sides of the ball as well, very important. Has it been an interesting dynamic that a lot of these players on your team are actually going to be your opposition coming up in the future? Have you thought about that?
Whenever I'm not pitching, they're kind of in my ear saying like, "Oh, we're going to beat you." Even Pars and Greg, they're saying stuff like, "Oh, it's our second year. Every second year, like at a place, we always win." And stuff like that.
Yeah, well, they're right about that. At St. Dominic's, they won, and in St. Jones in 2016. Interesting kid, Pomeroy Byrne. Left-handed pitcher, 83, 84 miles per hour, similar to your skill set, honestly. Do they try to pitch you guys like not back-to-back to give teams a different look? Because at least if I'm the opposing team, I would definitely want my hitters to see the same type of pitcher, which you guys kind of are.
Usually we kind of like go back and forth, like a first game of pool play in a tournament, we pitch either me or him, like get the tournament going, get a win, or like he would pitch like a semi or championship, like, and then we would just keep switching. Mm-hmm. It's just good to have.
Yeah, and then you got Matt Haddon, another hard thrower, right-handed pitcher from Massapequa, who kind of slipped through the cracks, I think, because he didn't pitch as an underclassman at Massapequa. Then last year canceled, so he'll be a junior this year. Do you think he's somebody that's going to break out?
Yeah, I mean, he used to be like not like the biggest kid, and now he's like 6'2", like 210 pounds. He's just like a huge kid.
Yeah.
He throws like high 80s. He's just a beast.
Yeah, he was like 87, 88 at the Blue Chip Showcase recently. Another thing I want to talk about, so you're from New Hyde Park. A couple of really talented kids there, Luke Orban going to St. John's and James Asmus.
Yeah.
Have you thought about, you know, just what that would have been like being a part of that?
Yeah, well, eighth grade is also in like that New Hyde Park High School. So James Asmus is one of my best friends. He always talks about how if I had stayed, we would have won like a bunch of games. Me and Orban, we would have won. So
yeah, that's a good core group of players right there. And they'll be all right. They'll be all right without you, but I think it would be fun thing to think about, having another arm in the rotation. And let's turn back the clock to 2017. You're in Cooperstown, 114th tournament. Historically, Long Island teams have not done well at Cooperstown. You guys went 13-0, and you win the championship. I mean, I want to know about what that moment was like in the leading up to the last out of the championship game.
So Banner like threw a gem like 4 innings straight after coming in relief, and then he gave up like a home run, but he was throwing really good. And I came in for the last out because I was a lefty. I was coming in from like left field, I think, and I had like a 1-2 count, and Kyle Chase told me to step off, throw it in the dirt, which I already knew to do one, but struck the guy out. Richard Petrosa made a nice block. Eric Paulson picked it for the drop third, and like everything else was just crazy.
And how many people are in attendance for a game like that?
Probably like 2,000-3,000 people. Like the stands were filled, and then there was like the hill. Everyone's sitting on the hill and stuff. It was really cool.
So, are you somebody that thrives off of that energy, or was there a part of you that was a little nervous that you were going to get called on in relief?
Yeah, I mean, I was really thinking about like championship game. Once I was in like left field, I think BA pointed out to me like to get the last out, and he's like, let's effing win me the game, and I just struck the guy out. It was sick.
Yeah, so BA is somebody, for those that don't know, Brian Anderson, coached at St. Dom's in 2019, and it seems like he does very well with the younger ages. This year, I think he coached 10U, and the young guys always seem to respond, and obviously he did it with you. Took a team of 12-year-olds from Long Island to a national championship, a national tournament, and won the championship. So what is it, you know, I know you didn't play for him this year, but what is it about Brian that allowed him to get the most out of a group of young kids?
Yeah, I mean, every game I feel like it would be a random summer or spring game, he would just be so amped up to like win every like hit, like he's like yelling at everyone.
Fired up, right? Yeah, 13 wins in 1 week. I don't even know how you have enough pitching for that. I mean, how did you guys find the arms to get through 13 games?
Well, we pitched our main guys like in the beginning of the week, so then we could have them later. Mm-hmm. And then we had Aiden Ford. I think he was hurt, but like even without him, we just had so much pitching. Aiden Ford was one of like our main guys there. Mm-hmm. But even without him, we actually found enough pitching, which is really good.
Yeah, and were there any scares throughout the way, throughout that 13-game stretch where, you know, you guys were trailing late or you were going up against a big-time pitcher that you were kind of, you know, not feeling so confident against?
Yeah, semifinal game against Massachusetts, like 12-year-old throwing like 80 miles an hour, and we end up winning 5-3. Dylan Banner and Matt Sandoval had like these two like clutch home runs, and Kyle Chase too after, actually. It was like all three of those home runs, it was just insane.
Yep, and Kyle was actually the first guest on this podcast a couple months ago, and we asked him about that performance down there. 25-30 with 12 home runs. When you're in the dugout, were you just laughing at some point? You couldn't get him out.
Pretty much every time he went up, we knew it was going to be either like a double off like the wall or like a home run, like 300, whatever feet. Like, it was just crazy to watch.
Yep, and now you get to pitch against him this year, so at least you got the book on him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Which is don't throw him anything good to hit.
Yeah.
And now this offseason, you're going to be working, you're going to be going to P3, Prospect Sports, and working with Alex Katz, right? So what are your goals for this offseason?
Well, P3 is with Pars and Bobby DeMichael, and then something like once a week, I used to throw a bullpen with Alex Katz too. So I'm going to keep throwing until like, I think the new year, and then take off probably January to February, or February to March, since our school season's like backed up to like later now. So
yeah, it's not going to be until late April. So do you have any goals on what to work on? I mean, velocity wise you're already, you know, you're already where you should be. Do you have any goals in terms of you know, either gaining velocity or just working on off-speed stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna keep working out every day, try, if I get to mid-80s, that'd be nice for me, and then keep my changeup consistent. If I have that consistent and have those three pitches, I think I'll be really set.
So would you say changeup is your second best pitch?
I mean, like sometimes, some games I'll be throwing it like 50 times a game, just literally every other pitch, and then sometimes I'll be throwing it 5 times. So next year I want that to be like, I want to be throwing that like 30 times a game every time, just have it consistent.
How did you get so comfortable with your changeup? Usually with younger guys, that's the last pitch to develop command of. So it sounds like, you know, you developed that at a much earlier.
Some kids, you know, they try to like pronate like too much and it just moves like wherever. I just throw like right like my fastball, it does the movement for me. I just have like natural tail, so it helps a lot doing that.
I think also the issue is that guys feel uncomfortable feeling it in the back of their hand.
Yeah.
So you have to really, you know, get comfortable with a release point as well, and, and that becomes an issue. So that's something that hitters are going to have to watch out for. So before I let you go, a couple rapid fire questions. Favorite musical artist?
Probably go like Lil Baby, Trippie Redd, all pretty good.
All right. Pre-game meal?
Probably like those Uncrustable peanut butter and jellies. I like those.
We get that a lot. That's a common answer. Yeah. How about any superstition before the game?
Nah, I just do my bands every game, do like the same exact routine, or else like I will feel like weird about myself the whole game.
Otherwise, you can't throw strikes.
Yeah,
right. How about favorite app on your phone?
I'd say TikTok, but right now, like the ESPN fantasy app, I go through that a lot.
How's your fantasy team doing?
I'm like 5-5. Sorry.
Nice. Yeah. Definition of mediocre.
Yeah.
And favorite place of vacation?
Went to California last year. That was fun. I went to like San Francisco, Los Angeles. Went to the Dodgers game, Giants game. It was fun.
Very cool. And lastly, if you had to guess, who's going to win the World Series in 2021?
Mets.
From your lips to God's ears. Thank you guys for tuning in to another Access Baseball podcast. Thank you to Ken Corbett of State Farm for sponsoring this series. And thank you to ProGame for allowing us to host it here.
You've been listening to the Access Baseball podcast with your host, Vinny Massana. Tune in to the next episode. Until then, visit accessbaseball.com.